Gildan Media, a division of Recorded Books, presents Scaling for Success, People Priorities for High Growth Organizations by Andrew C. Bartlow and T. Brad Harris, narrated by Eric Blomquist. Publisher's Note: In this audio edition, you will hear references to figures, tables, and charts present in the print and ebook formats of the book. 1. Scaling for Success. The purpose of this book is to help startup founders and executives pursuing rapid growth develop and execute an effective people strategy, i.e., recruiting, acquiring, and ultimately leveraging an organization's human capital for strategic success. If you are currently in the midst of accelerated growth, or even hypergrowth, more than 50% headcount growth per year, you undoubtedly know what an exciting and terrifying process it can be. In many cases, rapid headcount growth follows a funding event, which provides fuel that can either burn up the competition or burn down the house from the inside. Our goal is to help your company successfully scale up. Leading a high-growth startup is unlike many other challenges, both professionally and personally. You and your company have probably survived early challenges thanks to your ability to adapt to the needs of the market. As your company grows, however, it will inevitably hit a breaking point, and several more breaking points if you are doing things right. Borrowing from best-selling author and executive coach Marshall Goldsmith, you must realize that what got you here won't get you there. Things will start falling apart faster than they can be fixed. Hard work, quick thinking, and great relationships become mere prerequisites. Hiring smart people and turning them loose will not cut it anymore. You need to quickly learn how to effectively plan, delegate, and communicate. You need new systems and processes that align an ever-growing number of employees with the right priorities. You need a plan. Recent empirical research indicates that management practices are a more potent differentiator of top versus bottom organizational performers than other popular factors, such as great tech, R&D expenditures, and even worker skills. This conclusion echoes myriad scholarly and practical opinions on the critical role of people management. Melissa Taunton, partner with New Enterprise Associates, a top-tier venture capital firm with approximately $20 billion under management, says, "People management is the artery of your organization. You can have a great idea, but you can't execute it without a great team." Similarly, another highly experienced talent partner at a top-tier venture capital, VC firm, shared this: "Thinking about how to recruit and build a strong organization is very different than what most founders have spent most of their time on prior to a major funding round. Founders are afraid they will get it wrong and benefit from getting experienced help. While it is difficult to measure the impact of people and management practices, we have seen companies struggle time and again with the same issues. We have seen just about everything." Finally, business school professors Ranjay Gulati, Harvard, and Alicia DeSantola, Washington, write, "As just about any rapidly growing startup will attest, scaling up is challenging. Market crashes, unreliable supply and distribution partners, fierce rivals, and plenty of other external factors can buffet firms. But that doesn't mean companies need to be chaotic on the inside. Effective internal organization frees them up to keep pursuing new opportunities and brings long-term survival within reach." The following scenario describes a pattern among high-growth startups. A promising company has recently raised a new round of venture capital and is now trying to nearly double its staff in the next year. The founding team has been reliant on their personal networks and search firms to find talent so far, but they know that approach will not scale. They need to determine what new roles need to be filled, in what sequence, with defined skills, capabilities, and responsibilities, and how to attract and select those candidates in a highly competitive talent market. When the team finds an interested candidate that they want to hire, they must present a package of pay, equity, perks, and programs that will convince the target to join the company. The new hire needs to be effectively provisioned, informed of how to get things done within the organization, and understand what things are most urgent and important. In a chaotic startup environment, role and goal clarity are often fuzzy, in part due to inadequate planning, rapidly changing priorities, and inconsistent messages from leadership. Early employees are hesitant about changes to people and management practices, and even worry that the company's cultural soul is in danger. To relieve these fears, the leadership team spends countless hours trying to articulate and communicate a vision, mission, and core values for the organization, which are usually so watered down in an attempt to appeal to everyone that they are useless. Costly incentive plans and administratively intensive performance management processes are implemented to motivate and align employees to the most important priorities. But those priorities are usually unclear, unstable, and often conflicting. Employee engagement survey scores decrease and turnover increases. Replacing employees becomes more difficult as the remaining managers are stretched to the breaking point. Perks and programs are introduced to improve morale, and some senior leaders are changed out. Alas, these tactics only add to the pressure and sense of chaos as more disruption is introduced and core issues are not adequately addressed. Employees become more frustrated and less committed. Product roadmaps fall behind schedule. Operating results do not meet expectations. The pressure and anxiety snowballs, and the future of a once promising startup begins to look bleak. If you have been around even a few startups, you have probably seen or heard similar stories. As a company grows, its processes and practices must evolve to support that growth. Key people practices that need to be addressed during a company's evolution include workforce planning, new hire sourcing, selection and onboarding processes, compensation and benefits programs, training and development, company culture and communications, goal setting and performance management practices, a company's approach to legal and compliance issues, plus resourcing the HR people function supporting all of these activities. Every situation is different, but the good news is that meaningful similarities and thus lessons usually hold across all sorts of organizations. To that end, this book is designed to help you think proactively about the most critical people management challenges you will face during rapid growth and develop solutions that enable you to find success. Will it give you all the answers in a neat Cliff's Notes package that you can absorb in 90 seconds or less? Of course not. Although predictable, these issues are serious, and sufficient thought and context is required to successfully address them. Who should listen to this book? This book is for leaders who want pragmatic, actionable advice for addressing common management issues that emerge during periods of rapid growth. Our writing is specifically targeted toward founders, CEOs, and senior leaders of high-growth, venture-backed startups with Series A, B, and perhaps C seed funding. Although this tightly defined audience is positioned to benefit most directly from this work, leaders outside of the startup and venture capital community can also learn valuable lessons. We feel our work adds to the body of knowledge available to investors, entrepreneurs, people managers at any organization, business school students, and all those who support the startup community. In subsequent chapters, we offer templates and frameworks that you can apply immediately. The lessons offered here are rooted in our consulting work, rigorous management research, personal experiences, and the experiences of many other talented contributors, including chief people officers, CPOs, venture capital talent partners, TPs, and some of the most elite and experienced service providers to the startup community. Many books relate to and precede our work, and our favorites include Hoffman and Yeh's Blitzscaling, Gill's High Growth Handbook, Belsky's The Messy Middle, McGrath and Macmillan's The Entrepreneurial Mindset, Rice's The Lean Startup, Kawasaki's Art of the Start, and Bloomberg's Startup CEO. Although we share some necessary content overlap with these works, our book is unique in focusing exclusively on the people management practices needed to survive and thrive in a high-growth environment at an early startup stage. A caveat worth noting. Even though our book is about people management practices, i.e. human resources, HR practices, don't let the HR label fool you. All managers, not just HR managers, are in the business of managing talent. In fact, many organizations we work with have tiny or non-existent HR departments, which makes their people management capacities even more critical. Even in later stage startups, when formal HR professionals exist, high growth phases introduce some unique challenges that are not well addressed in more traditional texts. Developing a people playbook is a must for startup leaders serious about growing and surviving. Who should not listen to this book? This book is not for those looking for the next management fad or silver bullet pseudoscience, nor is it for those who want to mirror the freewheeling and free spending management practices of a unicorn, i.e. private companies with a valuation of more than $1 billion. We are supportive of aspirational goals, but there is a fundamental difference between a typical high-growth startup and the unicorns we read about in popular media. Most high-growth companies are resource-constrained and must be discerning in how they expend their limited financial and human resources. Conversely, only a few, very well-known, companies have the almost limitless resources to invest excessively in the attraction, retention, and utilization of their talent. Unicorns can afford to make more mistakes than most startups. Their killer product and tremendous market demand will carry them through many challenges. Separately, experienced founders, CEOs, and people leaders with experience across multiple startups may find some of our themes and key points familiar. However, doctors tend to make the worst patients. Experienced operators can be at great risk of copying and pasting so-called best practices from their prior organizations into their newest company, and those practices often do not make sense in their current context. If you are not willing to acknowledge the risks of a lift-and-shift approach, we can't help you. For all others, keep listening. You may be surprised how even minor tweaks to prior practices can make a big difference. Are you ready? Before we dive in, we want to warn you. To survive and thrive in a high-growth startup, your organization's key leaders must be willing and ready to adapt their management practices to your company's ever-changing situation. This will not be easy. But if you are willing to put in the work and direct your efforts towards smart strategies, it can be one of the most rewarding experiences of your professional, and perhaps even personal, life. We have had the privilege to observe and work alongside many founders and leaders of high-growth startups. Most of these people are extremely smart and capable individuals with good intentions, but these leaders are rarely fully prepared to adapt their deeply ingrained management style. They have been successful in building a company. They attracted venture funding. They may have hundreds of employees and tens of millions of dollars in annual revenues. However, the behaviors that enabled them to become successful entrepreneurs are often at odds with the behaviors that will help their companies continue to grow. Consider the following lighthearted but nevertheless common archetypes: mule drivers and prophets. A mule driver fills the wagon with as many items as possible, hitches up as many mules as needed to pull the wagon, and usually does not take particularly good care of those mules. The mule driver shouts frequently to get those lazy mules to trudge faster toward an often erroneous destination known only to the mule driver. The mule driver is not necessarily ill-intentioned, but the driver believes that the mules lack intelligence, are readily replaceable, and will be lost without constant encouragement, which may be a carrot, but is just as frequently a stick. In a startup context, mule drivers resist hiring functional leaders and skilled managers, trusting only themselves to steer their team. They also surround themselves with relatively inexperienced and lower-skilled employees who are expected only to promptly execute the directions of the mule driver. We saw this situation develop firsthand with a strong-minded and previously successful founder. Diane wanted to be involved in nearly every decision and struggled to delegate tasks. She did not trust her people. Ironically, her predisposition for distrust was only aggravated by her decision to construct a junior staff of relatively low-skilled and lower-paid individuals in most roles. Her approach was considered wisely frugal when the company was small, but it became untenable and almost an outright disaster as the company began trying to scale. Indeed, the organization went through more than a year of constant churn and dissatisfaction due to her micromanagement. Thankfully, Diane eventually saw the light, thanks in part to executive coaching and several calls from VCs and board members, and figured out that she needed to invest in and empower her team's talent for her business to effectively scale. Other founders assumed the role of a prophet. The prophet is a master storyteller and is remarkably effective at convincing others to follow. However, when the real work needs to be done, or difficult decisions need to be made, the prophet is hard to find. Prophets are far more comfortable studying in their ivory towers or speaking to adoring masses than they are doing the dirty work. Prophets surround themselves with highly skilled disciples who are committed to their cause, but they fail to provide those followers with meaningful direction. Prophets are averse to conflict, avoid difficult decisions, and often refuse to acknowledge bad news or problems. They see endless possibilities in an irrationally positive, borderline delusional future. We once witnessed a leader surround himself with world-class talent genuinely committed to the mission of the organization. Nadim's charisma and vision attracted high-caliber employees and substantial outside investment to pursue his ideas. Unfortunately, Nadim and his team proved incapable of executing on those ideas. Although he was very comfortable delegating to others, unlike the mule driver, he struggled to hold people accountable, never defined clear roles or objectives, and failed to make difficult decisions when big ideas met resistance or finite resources needed to be thoughtfully allocated. Sadly, his organization was shuttered after burning through hundreds of millions of dollars. We suspect these archetypes are familiar to some of you. Maybe you have worked closely with someone who has these tendencies, or perhaps you yourself exhibit some of them. Whatever the case, we hope the conclusion is obvious. Neither the mule driver's nor the prophet's entrepreneurial style is ideal or sustainable as an organization grows and matures. A formerly successful captain of a single pirate ship must adapt her style to become more like an admiral in the Navy. The natural curiosity and entrepreneurial spirit your organization and its leaders proudly proclaimed will feel at odds with the need to establish and maintain the basic systems and structure required by a complex organization. Survival requires a thoughtful and sometimes painfully self-aware consideration of how effectively you are operating within your rapidly evolving organization. To this end, we echo the encouraging words of leadership authors Linda Hill, professor at Harvard Business School, and Kent Lineback, former business executive. If you still need to make progress on your journey, that should spur you to action, not discourage you. You can become what you want and need to be. What are the core lessons of this book? Throughout the book, we offer a variety of tips, traps, and practical tools for startup leaders. However, a few overarching themes span across chapters and concepts. 1. Have a plan. It is critical to develop and maintain an evolving people management strategy as your organization grows and changes. In the chaos of startup life, this simple step is surprisingly easy to miss. 2. Master only the basics. A finite number of core activities will create the foundation for further growth. Startups must prioritize ruthlessly and resist distraction to execute those activities effectively. 3. Consider both content and context. You rarely need to recreate the wheel, but it is also dangerous to lift and shift practices from another organization to your own. Common practices within the startup community, for instance, are often driven by misguided, keeping up with the Joneses motivations. You need to construct a highly coherent and well-aligned set of people and management practices, modestly tailored to fit your organization. Have a plan. This can be a surprisingly difficult and controversial idea for startup leaders to accept. When change is occurring at a rapid pace and there is too much to do in the moment, leaders often avoid planning exercises. "We don't have time to think through that right now," is a common refrain. "We'll put together a plan after doing XYZ. The lack of time is merely a convenient excuse. Our experience suggests that startup leaders lack confidence in their ability to forecast and fear publicly stating goals that they may not meet, which in turn reduces their motivation to plan. The discomfort in planning that startup leaders feel typically originates from not knowing where to start, or their unsurprising preference to focus on other aspects of the business in which they are more knowledgeable. Yet, by choosing not to make conscious decisions related to people practices, that leader is indeed making an important decision, and usually a poor one. Peter Clark, talent partner at Accel, a Palo Alto-based VC firm with $3 billion under management, says that having a plan is crucial. Start by mapping a plan to things you understand. If you can think about your product roadmap, you can think about a people roadmap. Break it down into manageable tasks and execute on those tasks. Of course, your plan will change over time, but if you have a roadmap, you can get started. Growing organizations inevitably add staff, shift people between teams, and allocate talent to mission-critical projects. Absent a plan, people are misplaced in roles, under and overutilized, and often find themselves working in ways that do not support the organization's aims. Yes, plans will change. Yes, it will take time that could be spent writing code, interviewing candidates, or meeting with investors. However, putting together a people plan does not mean the business needs to be shut down for months at a time. Planning during a high-growth period is rarely a lengthy or overly formal process. You'll never get things exactly right, but the best leaders realize that planning needs to be a thoughtful and recurring process. Remember, if you do things right, your organization will continue to change, reaching a new stage of growth and complexity just when you feel you are starting to figure out the last stage. Master only the basics. We believe that your core people programs should be well executed, well aligned, and mutually supportive at every stage of your company's evolution. Although the areas you address in a people plan will be relatively consistent, the number and types of programs you select should change as you evolve. We will point out the basics of each category for early-stage startups, generally seed through Series B, and perhaps into Series C. As an example, a particularly common trap that many growing organizations fall into after receiving substantial funding is deploying capital too quickly by hiring people, creating new roles, and even establishing entire functions that they do not yet need. This trap has become even more common thanks in part to misinterpretations and overgeneralizations of Reid Hoffman and Chris Yeh's blitzscaling principles. Table 1.1. Our approach versus blitzscaling. Blitzscaling. Make rapid guesstimates. Our approach? Have a plan and rapidly revise it. Normal rules of business? Careful planning. Blitzscaling. Make inefficient investments. Our approach? Invest in executing your plan. Normal rules of business? Cautious investment. Blitzscaling. Let small fires burn. Our approach? Master only the basics. Normal rules of business? Solve all problems. Note. There is strong synergy with, as well as potential friction between, our Master the Basics concept and Hoffman and Yeh's blitzscaling principles. We agree that costs, competitors, and markets are uncertain for early-stage companies, and that uncertainty should not drive an all-or-nothing choice between speed and efficiency. Only a few moonshot companies with rare runaway products and the deepest of pockets can get away with highly inefficient investments. And it only makes sense to blitzscale when you have determined that speed into the market is the critical strategy to achieve massive outcomes. The rest of the startup community will benefit most from making rapid but high-quality decisions. Hoffman and Yeh acknowledge this point, highlighting that startups should navigate risks responsibly. So unless your business plan clearly meets Hoffman and Yeh's criteria for a blitzscaling business, we implore you to move quickly in accordance with a plan, which is both flexible and frequently revised. For many businesses, there is no need to increase the level of difficulty and likelihood of failure by racing without a map, with your eyes closed, while leaking fuel. Although there is an undeniable pressure to manage investor perception by deploying capital in ways that signal growth, successful leaders know how to spend wisely on human capital. They anticipate and prioritize the short, medium, and long-term needs of their company and work their plan, thinking about appropriate benchmarks for how quickly to add people, which people to add, and the optimal layers of management essential for avoiding reckless and costly headcount expansion. We offer frameworks in each of these areas to help leaders navigate risks more responsibly while still moving quickly. You will undoubtedly notice that the basics exclude many popular activities and programs. Rest assured, this is intentional. Creative, committed, and visionary entrepreneurs are highly susceptible to being overly ambitious. Trying to do too much, too early, is just as dangerous as the reverse. The best leaders focus on the essentials and delay peripheral, nice-to-do activities, often treating those bright, shiny objects as poisoned apples. For instance, if your company does not have a well-considered core health benefits package, it is almost certainly too early to add legions of other perks, programs, and vendors. If you do not have stable company goals, it is too soon to implement individual bonus plans. And if you do not have experienced managers in place, you are probably not ready to start an internship program or emphasize campus hiring. The more priorities and programs your organization tries to tackle, the more challenging it becomes to deliver on them. Organizations are more likely to move 3 things a figurative mile than 30 things an inch. As your organization matures, you will be able to handle more elaborate people practices, and more sophisticated programs are likely to be necessary. But in your formative phases, you should strive to keep things simple for as long as possible. A related reason that we emphasize mastering only the basics is that your employees have finite time, attention, and tolerance for distraction. If priorities change too quickly, or if there are too many people programs, employees either stop paying attention or get burned out trying to keep up with it all. Even if you can raise more money to overcome a blunder, you can never get back the time, attention, and opportunity costs that your team members wasted on a no longer relevant priority or non-core activity. Time is the ultimate non-renewable resource, and it needs to be valued and protected fiercely. Similarly, trust and confidence in leadership can only be stretched so far. You can get more life out of the limited well of grace your employees are willing to extend to you after inevitable missteps by avoiding unforced errors in your people management programs. Finally, as we discuss the basics, we will at times and very selectively suggest a specific tool, technology, or provider. This comes with notable risk because tools, technology, and even providers can become obsolete very quickly. We have consciously avoided emergent offerings that have not yet been adequately tested, and we hope you consider our referrals only as a starting point in your search, rather than as an excuse to skirt due diligence. Consider content and context. The chapter structure of this book lays out the essential content areas your people plan should encompass. We are confident that the high-level lessons can apply to any startup pursuing rapid growth. In many cases, you can avoid recreating the wheel by using an established framework, tactic, or other resource when putting our lessons into practice. In this spirit, we reference numerous leaders in the high-growth community, consultants, and academic research that can help you shape your people plan. That said, our suggestions should not be considered a substitute for your own critical thinking. As you listen and think about applying our suggestions, do not lose sight of the context in which your current situation is embedded. You need to select the best tools for the chosen purpose rather than applying tactics that worked for someone else solving a sometimes subtly different problem. For example, you may find a better way to meet the underlying criteria of effective performance management in your organization than simply adopting an exemplar practice described in our book. Our point is not to diminish the value of these lessons, but to encourage you to focus on the why, e.g., understanding how and why high-level principles lead to better performance management, more than the what, e.g., what specific HR platform should be used to administer performance management reviews of the lessons. Millions and millions of dollars have been wasted by purchasing unnecessary people management software, implementing lavish perk programs, or mandating specific candidate selection processes that do not fit a specific business. Extending this perspective, as you think about which programs you might want to implement, remember the adage, correlation is not causation. Many unicorns are already major name brands and have such a strong product or business model that they can achieve a large measure of success despite their management practices. In fact, research suggests that bad management practices prevail all the time, and they are usually rooted in faulty attributions based on early luck events or someone's first or second-hand experience at an altogether different firm. Consider these examples. Google gave equity to cafeteria workers, Zappos eliminated managerial roles entirely, and the founder CEO of South
Sample complete. Ready to continue?